Matthew chapter 15 this morning. Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to be covering verses 1 through 20 today. And may the Lord show us marvelous truths from His Word this morning. We've been working through the book of Matthew, learning, especially keying in on discipleship, that theme. And so as we see the passage for us this morning, we will see that a key of discipleship is that discipleship is to be genuine discipleship. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to begin, and then we'll jump right in. But Matthew chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat?" He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' For the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone, they are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" Recently, my bathroom sink had a leak, and so it was leaking underneath the sink, and so I looked and I saw water dripping off of the water supply line. Now, the water supply line was older, and the water was dripping off of it, and so I figured, oh, I'll just replace the water supply line and turn it on and all will be well. And so I did that, turned the water back on, and lo and behold, it still was leaking. And so what I had to do was I scratched my head a little bit, and then I thought, and I had to think deeper and look further in. I had to look closer. And what I discovered was that the source of the leak was the faucet itself. And so the faucet itself somehow had a crack in it, and so it was leaking down inside, down the water line. I had found the source of the leak. And it took some thinking and investigating to get to the root issue, root cause. And I find that what I did is sort of what we do with our lives, is that we like to look at the symptoms. We look to look at the surface level issues without getting to the root cause, without getting to the source of the problem. Like sort of replacing that water supply line, we tackle the symptoms, but we do not go to the heart of the issue, the root cause. We don't focus on that root cause, and what happens is what happened with me is the water just keeps coming because all we did was touch on the symptom and cover up the symptom. And so what will it take? It will take looking more, going further in, right? Looking and thinking and discovering the root cause. Now, of course, this thing that we do of looking only on the surface level, only at the symptoms, isn't only us. It is pervasive throughout humanity, right? It is mankind's natural tendency to obsess over the outward, to neglect the root cause. Like a man who thinks he's merely stopping his arm from bleeding, well, by covering it up, even though he has a massive wound on his arm. So we as fallen humans, we focus on these surface level solutions when there is this deep root cause at work. We see this all the time. Think about the solutions that we put forward to many of our issues. Right, so think about this. Let's say that you are want to stop eating French fries. And so why is it that we think, oh, all I need to do is take all of the French fries out of my house, never have any French fries in my house, and then I can, you know, be okay? What happens? You're driving along, and you see McDonald's. You see Burger King, Wendy's, whatever your preferred choice of fast food. And you go through the drive-thru, and what do you order? A large fry. What happened there? What happened? You put all of the fries out of your house. The problem wasn't the French fries. The problem was you. It was your self-control, wasn't it? You were the problem, not the French fries. And that's what happens, right? Or think about the problem of murder and violence in society. So often we look at the surface level. Oh, the problem is the tools that they use. And we realize the problem is a heart problem. There is something that leads that person to do that, doesn't it? You see, our society thinks that our problem is always outside of us, don't they? The problem is outside of us. If only that guy had a better community. If only he had a better situation. If he had better health care. If he had more support, if he had more governmental programs to aid him, then he wouldn't have done such a heinous crime. But of course, we know that is not true. We know there are tons and tons of rich, healthy people who commit heinous crimes. The problem is not outside of you. The problem is our hearts. You see, true change will only happen when our hearts are truly changed. When that heart is changed, it leads to then right living. Now, of course, our situation and environment can influence us. It can tempt us more. It can make certain things harder. We would agree with that. But ultimately, the root cause is our errant hearts. You see, society does this where we try to look at the surface level, the symptoms, and try to deal with the symptoms instead of the root. But really, this isn't a new thing, is it? This has been going on since the fall, right? And you see here in our passage, the religious leaders do the same thing. They focus on the outward. The religious leaders of Jesus' day were prime examples of outward obsessed. Here in this passage, Jesus actually calls them hypocrites, right? Verse 7, hypocrites. And this word hypocrite really means an actor, a pretender. It's like this actor who is pretending to be someone else. Well, that's how they are. Is outwardly they pretend to be godly people, but inwardly they are not godly at all. And so a point I would like you to see in this text is first, hypocrisy shows a heart problem. It shows a heart problem. Anytime that someone is a hypocrite, we know there is a heart problem going on because their outward and their inward do not match. Right? So consider what the scribes and Pharisees here show us. These people are the top religious leaders of Israel that day. And they confront Jesus and they are mad that Jesus' disciples do not wash their hands before eating. Now, at first glance for us, we're thinking, wow, they really care about germs and bacteria. But that is not what they're concerned about. They're concerned about ritual purity. And ritual purity was important for them, right? As right, it allowed them to maybe enter the temple or have this, be able to be clean before God. And so, according to the Bible, the priests, and only the priests, are commanded to wash their hands before they do stuff at the altar and things like that, because of course the idea of symbolism of cleanliness before God and things like that. But here's the thing. This ritual hand washing was never commanded for the typical Israelite. For just the ordinary person, this was never commanded. And that's why they even say, according to the elders' tradition, right? So this is a tradition that the elders have made up. They have made this new rule, and here's the thing, they act as though it's on the same level as God's word. That is the problem. And so that's why they're so upset, because they see it on the same level as God's word. And like, how dare they not wash their hands before eating? And I just love Jesus' response, because they say, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? And what does Jesus say in verse 3? And why do you break the commandment of God? You see that? See what he's saying? You guys are attacking them because they're breaking your tradition. Well, why do you break God's commandment? You're breaking God's commandment for the sake of your tradition. And so they were holding others up to these man-made traditions, man-made laws, and Jesus holds them up to what? God's law. He holds them up to God's law. And this is because often hypocrisy holds up others to man-made rules and precepts and commandments. So the question is, how is this seen today? Because we don't think often about this ritual purity. Oh man, he didn't wash his hands. He is ritually impure as he eats that food. We don't think that way. We may think of germs, and we probably should think of germs, right? But we don't think of ritual purity. So how is this seen today? Well, I'll suggest, you know, of course, the Bible talks about certain things about our dress, right? But there are other things that people try to proclaim as truth that are man-made. I've heard of people holding others to a certain standard of hair length, where if your hair touched your collar, it was almost seen as you broke God's law. What about your education choice? What about a certain order of service in church? We can, of course, look to the Word of God for principles that guide us, but we are on dangerous ground when we act like our man-made ideas are God's truth. Anytime you think or say a true Christian doesn't do blank, or a true Christian does this, you better make sure it lines up with God's word. You better make sure it lines up with God's word. That is a big deal. Jesus is showing us this is a huge deal. And actually, he shows us that someone who acts this way shows an errant heart. Why? When we teach as doctrines the commandments of men. That is a big deal. And so may we as individuals, may we as a church, never go beyond what is written. Never go beyond what is written. I want you to think, what is so wrong about elevating human tradition? What's so wrong about it? Well, think about it this way. As you elevate human tradition, you are lowering God's word. You are actually devaluing God's word, God's authority, and you are putting sort of yourself in the place of authority, or on the level of God, by which you then lower God's word. And so this actually shows someone, if you elevate human tradition to the level of God's word, you actually show you are devaluing God's word. You're devaluing God because you're saying, I want to be the authority. Instead of saying, no, God, you are the authority. Whatever you say goes, and I will not put anything that I think above or even in line with what you say, Lord. And so to battle this, we must always, always, always go back to the foundational truth. God's word is my authority. God's word trumps any human tradition. Any human tradition. And so I don't care what human tradition it is. If it is not biblical, it is not binding. If it is not biblical, it is not binding. You see, traditions can be so deceiving, aren't they? Can't they? Because they look so holy. They look so righteous, don't they? But in reality, listen to this. If tradition causes you to disobey God's commandments, it is wicked. It is wicked. We often don't think about human traditions that way. But Jesus makes it clear this is what they were doing with their human tradition. By elevating tradition so highly, he says that it has caused them to break God's commandment and therefore they have made void the word of God. They have made the word of God nullified, legally invalidated by their own rules. So what they would do, they made up this thing whereby you would dedicate your money or your property to the Lord, and once you did, it would go to the Lord when you died. And so it couldn't really be touched by others or used for the sake of others. Right? And so that all sounds good and righteous, doesn't it? I mean, your resources are dedicated to the Lord. That is great. But the problem was they were doing this and then not taking care of their parents. They're not caring for their parents. So let's say that someone had older parents and they didn't feel like caring for them. All they would have to do was promise all of my stuff, all of my money, all my property to the Lord when I die. And now they felt like, okay, now I don't have to honor my parents. I don't have to take care of them. Sorry, guys, it is dedicated to the Lord. Cannot touch it. Sorry, parents, you're on your own. And Jesus is saying, no, this is wrong. You're not honoring your parents. You're not following God's command to honor your parents, to take care of them, to love them and respect them. And so you can see their tradition actually voided God's word, because it made it so that then people wouldn't honor their parents. They weren't obeying God. Now, of course, we don't do that specific thing, right? We don't have this oath, that man. It's all dedicated to the Lord. Sorry, parents, right? We don't have that nowadays. But are there any modern day examples? I know of a teenager who once came to a church, and he was wearing kind of common everyday clothes. And a person, an older person, actually approached that teenager and scolded him for not wearing a suit and tie. Well, here this comes to find out, this teenager came from this poor family, and he essentially said, we do not have money to go out and buy a suit. That's so sad, isn't it? Instead of being thankful, wow, this teenager is actually in church. How often do teenagers choose to go to church? This other person was so unloving to someone who couldn't even afford much because their tradition of dress trumped God's word to love one another. That is what can happen when we elevate these traditional things. This is what hypocrisy often does, is it focuses on these small things and neglects these big, important things. Jesus talks about this later on, where he talks about how they neglect the weightier matters of the law, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel, right? Is you're focusing and nitpicking on these little things when you're not thinking about justice and love and mercy and righteousness, right? You're not thinking about these bigger, weightier things. Just think of the scribes and Pharisees here. They're nitpicking the disciples' behavior with not washing hands, yet all the while they're allowing people to disobey God's word. That's because hypocrisy is often focused on other people's sins to the neglect of your focusing on your own sin, isn't it? It focuses on the external and not care about the heart. But I wonder, in what ways are we hypocrites? In what ways are we hypocrites? Remember that hypocrisy shows something wrong with our hearts. It shows that it's all show, it's no heart. And so let me ask you, are there any human traditions that you have raised to the level of God's word and you hold others up to it? Maybe are you nitpicky with others, but you are blind to your own faults, blind to your own sins? Do you care only about the outward, or do you care about the heart? Some of us may be spiritual actors, religious pretenders, church performers, and this ought not to be, because if we do that, we show there is a heart problem going on. And so we should regularly do a heart check. Where am I at? Where are my motivations? Why am I doing it? Am I focusing only on my outward appearance, or am I caring about the heart? And so let's not just think outwardly, well, I look okay to others. But think inwardly, where's my heart at? Where's my heart at? But the thing is, we may be able to fool others. Did you know that we may fool others, but we cannot fool God? You see, God sees through our acting skills. No matter how good of an actor you think you are, you might think, oh man, look at me. I've done so many dramas in school, and I was in these plays, and this and that. I'm such a good actor. No, God sees through every single acting skill there is. He sees no matter how well you are fooling others, He knows and sees. And that's what we see next. Our heart problems aren't hidden from the Lord. They're not hidden from the Lord. You remember what would happen at the end of that cartoon TV show, Scooby-Doo? You'd have the villain, and often they would unmask the villain and reveal who it is. And usually it was shocking because they knew the person or something like that, and it was shocking. Well, we must understand that the Lord never has to, at the end of our lives, unmask us to realize and find out who we really are, because He knows all along. You cannot fool God Almighty. Notice how in this passage, the religious leaders, of course, put on a show and they think and they fool many other people, but they do not fool Christ. You notice how Jesus takes aim at them and He actually reveals their true character, doesn't He? He just goes right at them. He calls them hypocrites. He explains that you made void the word of God. He even tells them, hey, Isaiah, remember him prophesying? He prophesied of you guys. How would you like that? Hey, he prophesied of you. And what does he say? This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These people performed mere lip service, but their hearts weren't into it. They may have said all of the right things, but their hearts were far from God. You see, their lips and their hearts weren't inches away. They were worlds apart. They conducted all of this worship. But the truth is, Jesus says, this worship is in vain. It is worthless. It couldn't be truly called worship. It's worthless worship. All of that effort they put into doing it on the show, it did no good. It was pointless. But we can certainly be guilty of the same sort of things. We say, well, I said all of the right things. And yet, is your heart into it, what you said? It's kind of like that kid who says sorry in a perfunctory way, right? Just because they feel like they have to. Let me just get this over with. Sorry, right? And then you move on, right? We can be like that in our lives. And so we should tear down any idea that we can worship God rightly without our heart in it. Tear down that idea. It is in vain. And so just because you go to church every so often doesn't make you a godly person. Christianity is not a checklist thing. As long as you check off the things, as long as you accomplish the task, you are good. No, it's not that. You may put on a show. You may go through the emotions. You may fool others, but God is not caught unaware. He knows. He wants our hearts and our lips to match, our actions and our motivations to align. You see, many of us don't think this way, but we need to always remember this, because really, throughout the Bible, God makes this point clear. He makes it clear God detests empty worship. He detests it. We don't think of it that way often. We think, well, as long as I'm just doing it, well, at least there's that. No, God detests it. He says it's in vain. It's pointless. It's worthless. You may be doing all this, but your heart isn't into it, and so therefore it is not truly worship. Dead ceremonialism is not pleasing to God. It is not pleasing to God. Straight out. It is not. It looks holy. It looks religious, it looks godly, but Jesus is saying it is empty. It is vain. It is hypocrisy, and God knows it. In fact, just think about how Jesus portrays these religious leaders. He's called them hypocrites. He's called them out of saying, you have vain worship, you've made void the word of God, your heart is far from God. And it doesn't even stop there, because you read on verses 12 to 14, he goes even more after them. The disciples come to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, the Pharisees are offended. And notice, Jesus doesn't care. He's not impressed by them. Rather, he tells his disciples the Pharisees' true nature. What is their true nature? They are blind. They think they aren't, but they are blind. They think they know so much, but they don't. In fact, he says they're like blind leading the blind, and they're both going to fall into the pit. They lead others to destruction as they are going to destruction. And he even goes on, before the blind truth, he talks about how they will be uprooted because the Father didn't plant them. It kind of reminds you of the parable of the wheat and the tares, the wheat and the weeds, and they're growing along with one another. One is planted by the Son of God, and one is planted by the devil. And so that's sort of the idea. And the idea is someday they will face judgment because they do not belong to God. He's showing them, this is their true nature, guys. Leave them alone. And leave them alone is by, if Jesus says, leave them alone, it is not a good thing. If Jesus walks away from you, it is not a good thing. Because it's saying he's confirming you in your rebellion. And that's where what he's doing with these Pharisees. So our heart problems are not hidden from the Lord. Do you realize that? I don't know why we act like we or think we can hide it from God when we know he's all-knowing and all-seeing. He knows the true state of your heart, of my heart. And so this truth should lead us to be genuine, authentic people. It should lead us to be people who don't put on a show in front of others, but who are real. People who are real and genuine. And so it means we don't just kind of go through the motions of religiosity thinking that that's going to attain anything. But we just genuinely, from our hearts, follow the Lord. And so we do this knowing that, point three, our hearts are what matter. Our hearts are what matter. In verse 11, Jesus says this, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Though the disciples don't quite understand it, they want further clarification. And he says, verses 17 and 18, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. You see, the Pharisees thought that the disciples were defiled because they were eating with unwashed hands, but Jesus is showing us that really the Pharisees were the defiled ones. Because out of their heart came all of these wrong things. And so if you eat something, it just kind of goes to your system and is expelled, right? In and out. But really, it's out of our heart that defiles us. Meaning what comes out of us from our heart reveals what's going on inside, right? It's what comes out of our heart that shows there's something wrong. The Pharisees were examples of this. They're worrying all about these outward things of one wash hands, but their hearts were far from God, were wicked. And Jesus says, think about these sins. They come from a root. They come from a source. They don't just come out of thin air. They don't come because of something outside of us. They come from our hearts. And so if our heart is askew, is errant, then it's going to show. It's going to come out in our lives and what we say. Like I said earlier, we focus so much on the symptoms, on the surface level, instead of going down deep to the root. And so Jesus is helping us to think about the root of what leads us to do what's wrong or do what's right. So think about this. There is a reason why you have been impatient with your family members. It's because something in your heart says, I want control. I want my timing. And you become impatient. There's a reason why you have lashed out at your coworker. It came from your heart wanting something. Jesus says, from the heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because so often when we sin, we say, wow, that wasn't me. No, it was you. It was your heart. Your heart wanted something out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, our hearts are what truly matter. And so as we think about the Christian faith, Christianity, we understand, and Jesus is showing us, Christianity is not mere ritual. It never has been. According to the Bible, it never has been about ritual, mere ritual, right? Rather, true Christianity is a matter of the heart. And so it's time to stop thinking the problem is outside of us, guys. No, the problem is our sinful desires, is our hearts. And it's time to stop thinking that we can just do religious actions without genuine hearts and think it's okay. It's not okay. Because it's vain worship. And see, as you can see, Christians are to be people of the heart. Meaning we actually do things genuinely from our hearts. We say, I want to follow the Lord, and we follow the Lord. If we sin, we say, that wasn't because of all of that. Now, that influences me, that tempts me. But ultimately, we say, it came from my heart. It came from your heart. We go down to the root issues and deal with them there, the root cause. And so we keep reminding ourselves that God cares about the heart. God cares about the heart. So as you can see, God is not fooled by our facades, is he? God is not duped by our displays of outward mere religion. As you think about this passage, we realize this, that Christians should be the least fake people in the world. You think about that? We should be the most genuine, real, authentic people in the world, because we know and we have a God who sees and cares about our hearts. And so we shouldn't be putting on shows. We shouldn't be fake in any way. And so let's get real with God. Let's get real with others. Let's get real with ourselves. Let's no longer play a part. You know, some of people in this room maybe have been playing the part. Maybe you've been playing the part of good little Christian, church-going Christian all of your life, and you know it's not real. Maybe for you, you attend church because it's just the thing to do, but deep down, you really don't want to do it. You don't care about the things of the Lord. You try to do the least amount of religious things possible because you only do it to make it seem like you're fine. Or maybe you take the other extreme. Because you know what? There could be the other extreme where you do so much for Christ, but it's only to cover up what is really going inside of you. You're trying to cover it up by doing all of these things, but deep down you are in turmoil. And it is not from a heart that wants to serve Christ, but wants to put on a show so that people do not see the real me. If any of those things are you, and we could probably be guilty of these things to some degree, all of us, it's time to focus back on our hearts. And so as you think about these things, where is our hope? Like, what can change us? Only grace can change a heart. When we truly recognize how sinful we are and how gracious God is, we can't help but live for Him. Repent and live for Him. For though we are often hypocrites, we are often sinful messes, yet that didn't cause or doesn't cause the Lord to draw away from us. but he draws near. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us so much that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place, taking the guilt and shame that we deserved upon himself. And he did this so that we could be forgiven and we could rest in the declaration of no condemnation. It is kindness that leads us to repentance. It is his grace that trains us to live for him. And so ponder and wonder at the cross. Look to Christ. Let the grace of Christ sink down deep into your heart, not just pass through your ears. And so in light of what Christ has done, we realize, when we really think about what has Christ done, we realize that I don't have to put on a show of righteousness. Because each of us can admit, I don't deserve anything, and Christ has done everything. We can admit that we are a mess because we know we are. The gospel truth shows that we are, but only for the grace of God. We can admit we don't have it together because Christ came for such people as this. We don't stay there, of course. We ask him to help us and to change us and to transform us to love him and to live for him and to serve him more. And when any good progress is made, any good thing comes, any heart change happens in our life, we realize it was only from the Lord. And so take this time to dwell upon the amazing grace of what God has done in Christ Jesus on the cross for you. Repent to the Lord, confessing your hypocrisy. Because I'm sure to some degree, all of us are guilty of hypocrisy. Some more than others. But to some degree, we are all guilty. And you can say, Lord, I don't know why I thought I could fool you, but I can't. You know all things, and you know and care about my heart. So please forgive me for putting on a show, for acting one way while my heart was in the other direction. May we be people who genuinely follow Christ. Genuinely follow Christ. We admit our daily need for him. So as we conclude, let me ask this. Why is it that the church is a place that so many try to put on a mask of okayness? This should be the place where you admit, I'm not okay. Why do we act like this is the place where I put on my mask of okayness, where I put on my display of righteousness? No, we are not to be hypocrites. Rather, church should be the place where you come in all of your messiness and you say, guys, I'm not okay and I need help. And a place where people, when they hear that, they don't look down on people. Wow, look at him. Wow. Or they don't sit back and do nothing, but they come and put your arm around that person. You say, I know. It's hard. I struggle too. But let me encourage you and point you to the place of help, Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of genuine disciples who simply look to and cling to Christ to change me and help me. That is a place that I would love First Baptist to be, and I sure hope you do too. A place where we don't just put on shows, but we are genuine. We admit I'm struggling, I need help. And we gather around people and say, yes, let's help this person. Let's encourage, let's comfort, let's point to Jesus. And so the most important thing is not how we as a church appear to the outside world. The most important thing is our hearts. The most important thing, are we being transformed by his amazing grace in our hearts to be genuine, faithful disciples of Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are guilty of often being hypocrites, Lord. We confess to you that we sometimes put on a show in front of others. Lord, we sometimes make it appear that we are more godly than we really are inside. Lord, please forgive us for the times that we do that. Help us to see that you know. You truly know what's going on in our hearts. We cannot fool you. Lord, help us to see that when we do put on a show that is worthless, it is not real, but help us from the heart to be genuine, to love you from our hearts, and to love others. And so, Lord, there may be times where others open up to us. Help us not to look down upon them, but to see that we are all in this together, that we need your grace. Help us to help that person. Lord, we may be on the other side, and Lord, tear down our pride that hinders us from opening up to others. Help us to open up in genuineness, knowing that you draw near to us as we draw near to you, knowing that you are gentle and lowly in heart, and that we can go to you in our messiness, in our sins, in our fault, and realize that when we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin, and that you draw near to us, and you love us, and you embrace us as a father would a child because of what Jesus has done. So help us to look and cling to the cross. In Christ's precious name, amen.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. The sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.